So, good afternoon. Thank you for coming. I always know that there's so many other choices of activities that you have, so thank you for coming to this session. This session is only an hour long, as opposed to the other two, which were longer. How many of you have not been to one of the sessions that I've offered yet? One, two, three. Okay. So I'll just briefly introduce myself. And again, my name is Lawrence Furr, and I am cantor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Fort Worth, Texas. I work with Kendra Moan. And we have an incredible staff there. I feel so fortunate to be there. I've been there about 20 years. And I am a therapeutic musician. I have two certifications. There are four programs that are certified by the National Standards Boards for Therapeutic Musicians. There's four of them, and I have two certifications. I did one, and then I found another one. It just looked interesting and enough of a different slant that I wanted to take it. So, that's what I do. I work in the county hospital in Fort Worth. It's Tarrant County, and we have over 5,000 employees, so it's a pretty big place, several buildings, and I play in every department. I did not hand these out at the first session, but at the second session, if you want one, you can come up afterwards and get one. It's what we designed to put in at the nurses' stations and that kind of thing, mostly for staff to let them know. Especially when I first started, what in the world a harpist was doing in the hospital. So this just tells a lot about what a therapeutic musician does. So if you're interested, I have a little stack of them up here, and you can take more than one if you want. Today is about how to use a certain chord progression in a healing service. So it depends on how many of us are musicians is how much time I'm going to spend. I am going to demonstrate it whether you're a musician or not so that you can give us feedback, whether you're a musician or not, of what you think of it and how it works. I think it works very well, but I am always learning. I'm always open to new ideas. So even after I vowed I would never take any studies again after the PhD program, but I have been certified in several things of that because I'm always open and to new ideas and wanting to learn. So how many of you are I'm not talking about making your living as a musician, but you play an instrument. Raise your hand so I can see. One, two, three, four, five, six, sort of, you had your seven. Okay, so that means I'm not gonna spend quite as much time, but I do wanna go over it because even if you're not a musician, you can listen to the sound when I demonstrate this and you will get hopefully some benefit. And then we will actually do a healing service. A short healing service. Well, I think I'll just, yeah, that's quick. Just if the leftovers, just put them on the pew and I'll pick them up later. There's one for you, or there may be two there. Okay, here you go. So we're going to start on the side that has the title at the top, Celtic Strains and Therapeutic Harp Playing. Okay, so I'm going to start right there. In Ireland's ancient history, there was a tale, a myth of a warrior who stole a harp, and this harp belonged to this musician warrior, and it was considered a magic special harp, and he stole the harp, and so as his tribe, with all the men and women and children, were celebrating that they had conquered this other tribe and they had this magic harp, And as they were feasting and celebrating and drinking, and as the evening wore on, they were getting more loud and more raucous and drinking, and the warrior whose harp had been stolen burst into the scene and called his harp, and it flew to his hands. And the women first started screaming, so he quickly started playing music that made them so sleepy they just wilted and relaxed and started sleeping. And then as the men started to get up to attack, he switched music and it made them double over with laughter and go into hysterics so much that they could not hardly move. And as they were doing that, the women and children begin to recover and try to get their men to stop laughing and to defend themselves. And so the men, as they were starting to recover, then he started playing music and it made them laugh. And then he played music. He made them laugh. He made them sleepy. And then he made them sad, and he just had all these three things. So these were the three things later, after this ancient fable, that every Celt, every Irish harper was expected to be able to play these three kinds of music. And these, we believe, were names of a musical mode, but we don't know what these modes were. These are not the typical modes that we today know. But the first one, suantre, was the music you needed as a harpist to be able to play music that would make people relax, maybe sleepy, maybe soothing, but it just needed to help people sort of gently relax. And then you needed to be able to play music that made people melancholy and that took them deep inside themselves and to meditate and to really, you know, to search their soul. And then you needed to be able to play music, the giantre. You needed to be able to play music that was, some people say, it to make people laugh, but a better interpretation is to help these, you needed to be able to play music that was uplifting, it was graceful, made people smile and to feel love and to feel good. So these were the three strains, they were called, or modes of music that a harpist was Irish harpist was supposed to be able to do. So in the second certification program that I did, International Therapeutic Harp Program, I learned from the founder and director, she came up with some of the modes that we use today. Is anyone here familiar with the modes? I know Joe is with modes. Now, when I took music, beginning music theory and history way back in my undergrad days, we were taught the church, the old church, medieval church modes. And we were taught the names of them and how the scale was made up as opposed to our regular major and minor scale. But then we never ever did anything with those those again. And so it wasn't really till I started playing the harp about 6 years ago that I really started using these modes. And so major mode is called Ionian, and then there's Dorian, Phrygian, the Mixolydian, Ionian is already a Locrian, and I'm leaving one out. Anyway, there's all these modes. And, pardon, Lydian, thank you, Lydian. I rarely play in Lydian. I do occasionally, but we don't use it much in therapeutic work. But, so, if you don't know what those are, it doesn't matter. I'm going to show you some of them. But what Christina, the director and founder of this HARP program that I got my second certification in, is she and others sort of came up with, okay, well, we have modes that sort of do these same strains. So we don't know if it's the same mode they were using, but we think it might have the same effect. So what I do in the hospital, and there are a lot of therapeutic musicians out there, and we all sort of do our own thing, but for me, this really works. Now, every time I go into a patient's room or into ICU, I am playing for that patient And I watch that patient and I watch the monitors as to see how fast, how slow, what mode, how long I'm going to stay in that mode, all of that. So if I were going into an ICU room where the person is barely conscious and they're all hooked up with all these monitors, I would not follow this pattern, probably. But if I go into a typical hospital room, or if I'm in an area where there are a lot of patients, for example, I play in dialysis, so it's just an open room with about 12 or so beds, and I might do this. Or if I'm in endoscopy, or if I'm in pre-op, where there's more than one patient, then I'm not having to gear onto one person. So this is the kind of thing I might do. Well, I discovered this can also work I go into a room, I don't do a Christian healing service, obviously, in a hospital room. But I have used this in healing services at the church, and I use it all the time, one-on-one. But then when I go into a church, then we can do a healing service, and I just apply these. So if you can imagine, if you walk into a, if you're doing a healing service, or if you're playing for someone in a hospital room, let's say you take a guitar in there, or a harp, or what, you know, or you're playing a recital even. I think this pattern can work, and I have observed, not these exact modes, but I have observed, you know, concert artists doing this same thing, where you take people on sort of an emotional ride. So you go to a rock or pop concert, or any kind of pops concert, you're not going to hear all fast, loud music. You go to an Irish Celtic thing, it's not all going to be Irish jigs. You're going to hear some mournful sounds, etc. So this little pattern works very well. And so I start out with mixolydian, as you see on there. I start out with mixolydian, which we equate with this suantre, this ancient mode. And when you play mixolydian, I have seen it happen. In fact, I don't play it in pre-op too much anymore, because there's a lot of staff that hang out where I'm playing as they're bringing in patients, and every single, I would say, well, 9 times out of 10, if I'm near a nurse's station in the afternoon and everybody's just eaten, or things have slowed down, because at a hospital the morning is just busy, 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 and then the afternoon it slows down typically a little bit. And if I start playing in the mixolydian mode, I see nurses, if they're near me and they're sitting working, start yawning. And especially in the morning in pre-op, and these tired doctors and nurses are back on shift, and all these residents, and they're working these long hours, and I start playing sleepy time music. and it's like they need a shot in the arm. But if I'm playing for a patient, or mostly for patients, then I do start with the mixolydian. And then what I do is, let's say that the patient, or if you're starting with a healing service where you don't have patients, but you want people, you sort of want to match the tempo of sort of the general consensus. So if I'm with a patient and they seem very hyper, I'm still going to start in mixolydian, but I might play it at a faster tempo to match where they are. And then I'm going to start slowing it down and getting them sort of, you know, so I try to match the patient where they are and bring it down a little bit. And then I will, depending on watching their, you know, you can tell a lot by how, if their foot starts going, or their hand starts tapping and it wasn't tapping, or sort of agitated before I start. So I'm always watching the patient, but so it depends on how long I stay in whatever I'm doing. So after the mixolydian, I go into the Aeolian. Now the Aeolian is what we know as the pure minor, and I'm going to demonstrate these, so don't have no fear if you're not a musician. The Aeolian is what today typically we know as the pure minor. There's three kinds of minor keys, but this is the pure minor. And so I try to take that patient then into a really deep meditative place. And a lot of times, this is where sometimes a patient might get a little emotional. And if they're not hooked up or if they don't seem, you know, out of control, that's okay. It's okay for them to cry. That's sometimes a good sign. If I'm playing in ICU and this happened and I started playing this woman, I rarely get requests, but I started playing Silent Night because she asked for it. And she was hooked up to all these things and she had a thing she had been throwing up. So she was, you know, not feeling well, but she asked for Silent Night. And as soon as I started playing it, almost immediately she started sobbing. Well, is that good for someone in ICU with I don't know what all's going into them? No, that's not when you want them to go into this emotional state. So I just played at one or two measures enough for her to recognize it, and she started crying, and I immediately went out of that. And then, you know, pretty quickly she stopped. So that had some, that's why I don't play songs that people know too well, because you never know what that song holds for that person. Now, if she had been just in a regular hospital room and she was laying there and I could tell she was pretty stable and I played Silent Night and she started to cry a little bit, I wouldn't worry about that. So it's always one-on-one. And I always, you know, you, as I said, you can apply these things. So if you're in a healing service or playing for a friend who is, you know, let's say you're visiting a friend in their home even, and they have cancer or they're on hospice in their home, you can apply these, and I have. So you take the, so I go to Aeolian, the pure minor, to get them into a really sort of deep meditative state. But of course, I don't want to leave them there. So we go there for a while, and then I will switch to the Ionian, which is our word for major. And in Western ears, we almost always equate major with more happy and uplifting, and minor, a lot of people think of sort of sad or haunting or sometimes even maybe a little scary. So I want to leave them in a pleasant, uplifted. So then I will shift out of Aeolian and I will go into Ionian, the major key, and I will play in a major key, starting out slowly, because I've been playing very slowly, right? And then I'm going to go into this major key, and I'm going to still stay slow, and then I will either gradually increase the tempo of what I'm doing, or I will even shift, stay in that same key, that same major key. Let's say I'm in G, Ionian G major, but switch to another piece, and then I will bring them back up and try to play something that's very happy or dancing or something like that. Okay, now, if you were at the meditation, I went through cycles of this. So it's something that a lot of times you're not even aware of. And I'm gonna play just one of those cycles that I thought about playing a different, but I thought, no, I'm gonna play one that if you might, you may or may not remember from that session, but it's what I started with actually at the very beginning. And I won't do it exactly the same way because I never do, because I'm playing from my head. So I'm not gonna follow this pattern. What this pattern is here that you see Mixolydian, you know, where I have all these chords written down. This is if you don't know what you're doing and it's your first time, this is how you can see the progression. So I do a little more complicated thing. And if you were a room full of harpists, which I've taught this to before, then we would go through exactly in this sequence. And I might just play the chords. Just to show you, where is my harp? So first, before I start, I will show you a couple of examples of what these different things sound like. So this is a major chord. So if I want to play, that's a major scale. If I want to play in Mixolydian, all I do is I flatten the seventh. So it's Ba-dum, bum, 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 bum. Hear that? Ba-dum. But all you have to remember in Mixolydian, it's basically, you can do Mixolydian so well with two chords, the one chord and the flatted seventh chord, and it sounds like this. This is the one chord, or there's that flatted seventh. And I can go on one chord forever, all different stuff, but you add a second chord and it just, so anybody in here play the guitar? Anybody in here play the piano? Okay, so if you do, just picture on your instrument a G chord. If I'm playing in the key of G right now, I'm in G Mixolydian. So you think, well, how do I do? So if you play G's and you just arpeggiate, you know, just do some arpeggios, some chords, play around with a G major chord, and then go to an F chord, just an F major chord. And that's, so that's the basis, that's the main ingredients of Mixolydian. So if you're in the key of C, you would not go right down to B, you would have to go to B flat. So you'd play C, 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 and then you'd go to B flat, a B flat major chord. They're both major chords, okay? So, so that's Mixolydian in, you know, very basic Mixolydian. So then, if I want to go to Aeolian, in this case, so the, again, just bear with me for a minute if you don't know what these chords mean and you're not a musician at all, but G majors, every major key has a related minor key. So if you're in the key of G, you go down a minor third and you're in E minor. So for those of you who are musicians, you know that, so E minor is the cousin of G major. So I'm gonna go to E minor. Here's a minor chord. Remember, this is a major chord. Brighter, there's the minor. So I'm not going to go to G minor. I'm going to stay in the family of G. So I've got G Mixolydian, and then I'm going to go, here's my Mixolydian, and then I'm going to sort of go to E minor. And if you don't really feel comfortable, you can follow the sheet, the chords that I've given you. So then, but before I do that, while I'm playing G, I've got this flatted F. I've got an F natural. So while I'm playing just a G chord and fiddling around, I'm going to start sharpening my Fs. Okay, so now I'm in E minor or G major. So again, bear with me if you don't know what I'm talking about. So then we're going to go to a, and then, you know, at some point I will really, that doesn't mean I have to just play E minor chord. No, I'm going to play in the key of E minor. So occasionally they'll pop up a major chord, but I'm in E minor. It's basically minor. And then I'm going to end up then back in G major now. So okay, so that's in a nutshell. That's what I do. That's what I've spelled out for you how to do that. And so before we go into the healing service, I want to play and I want you to just relax. This is not, you know, we did an hour or so meditation the other day. This is going to be just, I don't know, 5-6 minutes or less. And I'm going to follow this pattern. And so relax, take a breath, take several deep breaths, and let's do a short meditation. And I'm going to use exactly this pattern. I'm not going to follow, I'm going to follow Mixolydian, Aeolian, and then Ionian. Or you could think of it as Mixolydian, minor, major, if that helps. But obviously when I'm playing for a person, I never explain this. And so if you want to try to just meditate, that's great. If you want to sort of analyze and say, oh, okay, I see what it is, that's fine, to do whatever you want to do. But try to just relax into it and see. And then we're going to talk about, after I do it, we're going to talk about your feelings, what you notice, and if you think what I am doing, you know, if I'm full of hot air or if it really seems like it worked for you, okay? So I will start out in G Mixolydian, and I won't say anything now till I'm done. So take some deep breaths. I'm not going to do a guided meditation today. I will just be playing. Thank you. Okay, so stretch, wake up a little bit. So the goal is to go through this series. I usually spend, typically, again, it depends. I've spent an hour in a room when there's family and they're taking someone off a ventilator, or I've spent 5 minutes or less, but my average is 15 to 20 minutes that I take them through this process. And I don't use this sequence with every patient, as I said, but I use it quite often. And the one of the goals, there's several goals when you're working with a patient, but is that you don't want anything abrupt. You want to lead them gently. So I want to just get your feedback. Could you tell, could you sort of hear after I explained what I was doing, going through the different, I went from that sort of watery, soothing Mixolydian. Mixolydian always makes me think of a sailboat cutting through the water. One of my recordings, the Mixolydian is the oil is helichrysum, because that plant grows on the island of Corsica, and it's these little yellow flowers waving on these rocky cliffs with the ocean breezes, and I just have that. So Mixolydian always makes me sort of, you know, chill out, but it also, to me, is very watery. And then I went into the deeper, slower Aeolian minor, and then I shifted into a slower G major, and then I went into a sort of a more sort of uplifting, kind of happy, I'm hoping. So let me hear your thoughts and of what you heard. Anybody? Okay. We'll come back to you.
I never could tell when you were doing the transition, but I could tell when after the transition happened.
After the transition. So she said she didn't realize when I was transitioning, but she knew once I got there, oh, we're in someplace different. Okay.
I didn't hear a huge difference between the first two, and then I realized, oh, we're in minor land.
Yeah.
But when you got to the happy ones, definitely, especially when you did the last little dun 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 dun, the little mm-hmm. syncopated.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm glad to hear that, because you almost want it to be seamless. Like, okay, so now we're how did we get there? All of a sudden we're in minor, and I mean, obviously you can tell that I start slowing it down, but you don't want to abruptly start, you know, slow, you know, go from this. And then in the middle when it was going into minor. Yeah. Anybody else? Now, there are occasions where I play one note, just I'll repeat one string just to get that resonance, especially a lower string. And if you're, when I'm doing healing services in the church, I do not use this harp. I use this harp all the time in the hospital, but when I'm doing a healing service in the church, I use the bigger harp, and then I have even more low notes to get. But sometimes with a patient, even though I'm on this smaller harp, I will just pluck one string for, you know, a little while, that resonance, and then I'll add another string. So again, it depends on the patient and where they are, what you assess their. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else have anything to say?
Ask them not to boil.
Oh, well, we're. I'm not going to be playing too much more, so I don't know. It's not bothering me, and we're not going to do another meditation. We're going to do a little healing service, but I'd hate to interrupt them. But and next, if I come back here and teach again, I will not be using this room. It's a little distracting, especially for the long meditation. But I specifically asked for a room with wooden floors because I thought the harp would be more resonant with wood, but it's a little too big, especially for this harp. And since they mic it anyway, I don't think it would matter, so I don't know. But I had never been here. I didn't know what the setting was. Yes?
I was wondering, in the hospital, aren't there lots of extra noises happening while you play?
Oh, yeah. So we can talk about that if you're interested in hearing a little bit about that. So I forgot to bring it up yesterday when we were talking about the synesthesia, because I use color and I use especially fragrance to inspire me. But if I'm, NICU is the place, I mean, it's everywhere in the hospital, yes. But I have been inspired in NICU more than almost any other place from a tone of the machines. So let me put this back on. So I am very lucky. In our NICU, there are three basic machines that they have. And I don't know what these machines do, but I know that there's a machine that plays a D, there's a machine that plays an F sharp, and there's a machine that plays an A, you know, the bing, 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 bing. And I'm lucky because what did I just outline? D, F sharp, and A is a D major chord. So I thought, okay, these babies are used to hearing these three chords, so I play in D major a lot in NICU. I mean, I do play in other keys, but because if I were to start playing in, let's say, E flat, for example, I don't play an E flat on this harp because I would have to completely retune. That's another thing. It's theoretical, but my harp is tuned in F. A lot of folk harpists tune in either C, probably the majority of them tune in C, and there's a few of us, quite a few that tune in D, F, and that way we have at least one flat key, and that's F, which has B flat. Most concert harpists, if not all, tune their harps in E flat. So when all the some folk harpists do that too. They Christina wants everybody to tune in E flat, and I just said I'm not doing it because I don't. If you don't know harp, it doesn't matter. But anyway, so they're all playing these three machines, and they're not just three machines. There's a lot of machines playing in D, and they just do it occasionally. Ding ding. So you've got a machine that's constantly doing this. Of course, it's shorter, but it just repeats. And I'm telling you, those nurses, if you ever in the hospital and you buzz for the nurse's station, I mean, they ignore machines, and you're buzzing, I can tell you, at least half of the time. Now, they do have one or two machines, they know that's business, but when you use your collar in the hospital, they're not in any hurry, unless you start yelling, then they might. But so I've got this sound just going all over, and then all of a sudden, every now and then, sorry. So you know I've got this, and then all of a sudden you hear this A. So you've got these. So oh, that's a nice D major chord. So I just fiddle around with D major, and then doesn't mean I can't play other chords, but I really stress that. So I do get inspiration of what's going on in the room. Well, the other day, I heard, I don't know if it's a new machine, I don't ask, they're always busy, so I didn't ask, but all of a sudden, after being several years in there, they got some new machine that is horrible. It plays in a B. Now, B is not a bad note necessarily to go with D major because it's in the scale. Here's B. But it's the way this machine sounds. It's not a pleasant B. It's like, and it's got more tones in it than just that B, but it's primarily this B. So the other day I was like, where did that, I have never heard that machine before. I'm here happily playing my D major stuff, and then that's part of one of the main chords in the key of G is, in key of D is G, so it's got a B in it. So you start incorporating these sounds of these machines that you hear. Yes, I go off those machines a lot. There's, when I play in labor and delivery, they have different, I think there's only a couple of tones I'm remembering right now, but if you've just got two tones, it's easily, and even if I were playing in D and you had, you know, an obnoxious D flat, I could still somehow, you know, work that in, and I've done that. So, yeah. So where were we? what time is it? I want to be sure. Oh, wow. We've gone. So what I want to do is flip the page now and look at the healing service. Because a lot of you maybe will never play in the hospital. Who knows? You might. But I know Joe does. Joe Philpott here. She's also a therapeutic harpist. In where are you located? St. Joe's Hospital in Bellingham? Bellingham, Washington. So, oh yeah. And we also play to the person's sign. Like if, that's one of the things we learn is resonant tone, and I'm not even gonna touch that subject except to say that I listen to a patient's sighing, and if I can pick up a note, then I incorporate that, and it really works. It's like magic. So if you hear all these beeping machines, and there, it's just noise, but all of a sudden you hone in, you like I did, oh, that's a D major chord. I can really do something with that. But if you're playing in a room where no, there are, let's say, not a machine, it's just a person, and you really want to help this person and reach this person. One time I was playing for a woman, and she just seemed to be pleasant, and her, a couple of her grown daughters were in there, and she started, you know, I came in there and I could tell, okay, it was nice, but I wasn't really, I didn't feel like I was really getting through. And so she started, and I thought, oh, that's a C. So I started playing in C major and I would really emphasize the C. I mean, it's not that I would play the note, that C louder, it's just I played it a lot. And all of a sudden she just relaxed. So if you can find a person, a pitch that a person is sort of emanating, it really can work and resonate with them. So, but as I said, you may not ever play in a hospital, but you may play for a friend in, or you may go to the nursing home and play. They don't have nearly as many restrictions in a nursing home as they do in a hospital as far as what you can do in the patient's room. But what I did on this healing service, how many of you have ever done the healing service in the ELW? Anybody? All right, look, first let me ask, how many of us in the room are Lutheran? Let me see the hands. Okay, the majority of you. What do, are you associated with a church? Okay, Southern Baptist, and are you associated with a church? And okay. Now that's two to United Church of Christ. Well, no, I mean, I thought that was two different denominations. Oh, okay, okay. Because I played for a Disciples Church for 8 years and it was not UCC. Okay, that's interesting, yeah. Let me ask again. So a lot of you are Lutheran, I think everybody but two. So have you ever done a healing service at your church or been in one? Okay, I see a couple of hands. So I thought about passing out the hymnals, but it would take too much time. But it's on page 276, and there's a healing service. And there's an introduction to it, and it says, you know, this is a healing. It's not a curing service. It's a healing service. And all of us can be healed. We may not be cured of a disease, but we can certainly be healed and have a healing process, both physically and mentally and spiritually. And that's what we do as therapeutic musicians. We're trying to create an atmosphere that promotes healing. That's all we're trying to do, relaxation and healing. So if I go into a room and their heart rate is off the wall, then I can start playing just for a few seconds. I will match them at that fast tempo, and then I will start bringing it down, and their heart rate, it doesn't work every time, but it works a lot of the time, that their heart rate will start coming down, or their blood pressure. And the nurses were so amazed in ICU the first time when I first started there. They were just, they could not believe how drastically sometimes that the music would help. And themselves, I have surgeons all the time, nurses, everything. Just, they will come by and either they'll tap me on the shoulder or they'll give me a thumbs up or they will say, this, you are just helping, you know, relieve the stress. So it really works. It really works. And there are studies. I have not been involved in any, because as you know, in the scientific world, in the hospital world, if there's not a study that proves it with heart, then it's just anecdotal. It's a story, and it's happened enough for many years with all of us who do this work that we know that it works. But so what I did is I took bits out of the ELW from the service, and then I took this prayer from another source, and I thought, instead of me, what I was going to do is ask one of you to lead the service while I played, but since we've only got about 7 minutes left, let's just go through this, and if you will, when we get to the prayer, if you will do the bold, and then we will end, and I will come around, and I wouldn't do it exactly, but all of a sudden I realize I'm getting running out of time. So I will come by. I have a roller ball, and if you would like to be anointed with the oil, it is rose, sandalwood, and vetiver all combined, and I will make the sign of the cross on your wrist. But let's do this, because this is short. Our Lord Jesus healed many as a sign of the reign of God come near and sent the disciples to continue this work of healing with prayer, the laying on of hands, and anointing. In the name of Christ, the great healer and reconciler of the world, we now entrust to God all who are in need of healing. We come together to worship God, our great physician. Some of us come here with cancer, heart disease, or other conditions that threaten our lives. Some of us are sick from alcoholism and drug abuse. Some of us hope for healing of depression or emotional problems. Some of us need healing from abuse. Some of us look for healing from boredom, fatigue, and lack of passion. Whatever the conditions of our lives, we trust you, O God, to teach us and to heal us through the power of the risen Christ. We sing and dance before you, God, because you have shown us through Jesus Christ that you are greater than any disease or condition that keeps us from being fully alive. And at this point is where I would probably play a short sequence like I did, or I would be playing it all through while someone else led this. Sisters and brothers, I invite you to come and receive a sign of healing and wholeness in the name of the triune God. So I am now going to come by, and if you would like, you can just hold out your hand. If you would not like, just don't put your hand out. Receive this as a sign of healing from God. Receive this as a sign of healing from God. Receive this as a sign of healing from God. Receive this as a sign of healing from God. Receive this as a sign of healing from God. Receive this as a sign of healing from God. Receive this as a sign of healing from God. Receive this as a sign of healing from God. Receive this as a sign of healing from God. Receive this as a sign of healing from God. Receive this as a sign of healing from God. Receive this as a sign of healing from God. Receive this as a sign of healing from God. Receive this as a sign of healing from God. receive this as a sign of healing from God. Now smell it and see what you... Let us pray, living God, through the laying on of hands and anointing, grant comfort in suffering to all who are in need of healing. When they are afraid, give them courage. When afflicted, give them patience. When dejected, give them hope. And when alone, assure them of the support of your holy people. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Almighty God, who is a strong tower to all, to whom all things in heaven and on earth bow and obey, be now and forever our sure defense, and help us to know that the name given to us, or health and salvation, is in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The peace of Christ be with you always. So that was a very speedy, it would be much more relaxed, but I realize we're running out of time. But if you can imagine that as the harp or guitar or piano is playing, and especially I think in this sequence that I use, you don't have to follow this. It will, of course, work, but it's just something that I've used that really works. So what do you think of the smell? Do you like it? This is, I did not mix the rose with the sandalwood. I bought it that way. It's infused. It's called an attar, A-T-T-A-R. So that's rose and sandalwood. And then I added to that vetiver, which is from the root of the plant vetiver, which is a very grounding essential oil. Whereas rose, of course, is associated with love and spirituality. And then it's put in a base of, I believe, I either used jojoba oil or coconut oil. I don't remember. I think I used jojoba oil, actually. So, okay. Tonight at Vespers, the presenters, the faculty or staff, whatever you call those of us who presented this week, are putting the, we put together a Vespers, and at the end we will be doing, we won't be doing a healing service per se, but as you leave, you will be getting, there will be four people stationed. So right now I need three, I'm going to be marking, but we need two here and two there, so I need three more people. Is there anyone here that would volunteer to, I will have some tiny little roller balls that you will just do. We decided to do it on the wrist. There's two. Do I have a third person that could do it? If not, I'll find someone else. So there's two people. Oh, would you do it? Three. Okay. So two of us will be here. Let's just decide right now. So which station would you like to, why don't you, could you two be over there? And the two of us will be here. And we decided, instead of on the forehead or somewhere that, because some people said they don't like that finger coming at them, so that's where we decided to do it on the wrist. When I anoint myself or others, I often do three trinities. So I do the temples and the third eye are right here. And I will, you know, say Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then I do the two sort of jugular vein areas, plus here under my nose, so that's another trinity set. And then wrist, heart, other wrist. But tonight we're just going to make the sign of the cross on the wrist just once. Okay, well, I hope you learned something. I enjoyed giving this, and I'm passionate about therapeutic music. And so thank you for coming, and I will see you soon, I hope.